Count it a privilege to be here at the Fourth Avenue congregation. One of the things about being a pastor is that you get asked to go places you might not have gone otherwise. And so it's a challenge and a privilege all at the same time. So count it a blessing to be here and worship with you and see. We hear about the Fourth Avenue people. We know some of you. Now we know where you worship. Thank our brother for his thoughts on assumptions. That was a good devotional on the danger of assuming things and how we can line facts up we think are something to and make something out of it when it isn't. Challenge there. I don't know what assumptions you had about this subject tonight or what you're expecting. I think when Sonny originally asked me the phrase I latched onto, he said something about speaking on the subject of technology, and it's here to stay. How can we best use it, I think is how he phrased it. And so I kind of latched onto that phrase. And our title is Faithfulness in an Ever-Changing World, and then I think technology is in parentheses. So how can we be faithful as it relates to technology? How can we stay true to God as we relate to this ever-changing world of tech and the effect it has on our lives? What is faithfulness biblically? Well, it's the fact or quality of being true to one's word or commitments, or what one has pledged to do, or what you profess to believe. And so it's staying true to the core values. It's staying true in our case, in the Christian life, it's staying true to what God requires of us. And so how can we be faithful to God, be faithful to his principles in the area of technology? That's the question we want to consider. And I want to hopefully expand on that and think about principles that apply to technology. Hopefully give some practical things too, but thinking mostly on a high level of technology and how the Christian relates to it. What are the commitments or promises a Christian has that he needs to be faithful to in relation to technology? Now, I decided to start with a broad view and define tech from a biblical perspective and then build a biblical foundation on how we relate to it. A lot of times when we talk about tech, we talk about the negative parts of it. And there's a lot of negatives. And we focus on those and we say, this is something we don't want to have. This is a bad part of technology. And it's often more of a negative discussion. And I think for the purpose of this message, I wanted to steer away from that and stay on more of the positive and look at what are some good things we can do with technology? What are ways we can bring glory to God in this technological world? How can we build his kingdom and ultimately be faithful to God amidst our ever-changing world of tech? So what is technology? Or what do we mean when we use this term? In our current day and age, we often think of, when we say the word technology, we often have a very narrow definition of it. We think of probably your mind goes to your smartphone in your pocket, the computer at home, some sort of electronic device, and that is part of it. And we zero in on that of it when we use this term technology. But I want to go broader than that to start. What is technology? How broad is technology? What areas does it affect? If you look up the word technology, it's defined as this. There are several different definitions I jotted down. It's defined as the application of scientific inventions to the needs and convenience of man. Or rephrased a different way, it's science or knowledge put into practical use to solve problems or invent useful tools. So we take knowledge, things we know, we take science, processes, laws of the natural world around us, and we combine those, that knowledge and that science, into some sort of tool to solve a problem that we have, to speed up a process, to solve some issue or create some tool or solution for something. Another way we can think about technology is the specific methods, materials, and devices used to solve practical problems. So this gets more more into the physical realm of process, method, materials, things we handle, devices, tools, to solve some sort of practical problem. So that's technology at a very broad level. That's how you define technology. It's methods, know-how, or formulas, expertise that we combine to improve productivity, expand our capabilities. It amplifies our influence and also increases our knowledge. So technological advances do these things. They improve productivity. They give us capabilities we wouldn't have had otherwise. It amplifies our ability to reach people and influence people, and expands the amount of knowledge that we have available to us. So technology has touched almost every area of our lives, and I just want to take a few minutes to walk through some examples to help you realize this. Almost everything we deal with or experience has been touched by some sort of technology. Let's think about our homes, first of all. The materials we use to build them. We have dimensional lumber, engineered wood, special fasteners. We have drywall, which is a manufactured product. We have shingles, siding, flooring. And there's all kinds of technology that go into creating those products just to build a house or just to build a building. And so technology has touched our houses, our construction. It's touched the way we live in our houses. We flip a light switch and the rooms are lit. It controls our climates. All of our homes have a source of heat, I assume, and many of us have cooling for the summer. And so we get used to these climate-controlled environments. It's technology. We have running water. Kitchens and bathrooms have hot or cold water at the turn of a faucet. And there's technology being involved there. Food preparation. Fridges and freezers that preserve food. We have electric ovens and stoves that you can set the temperature and set the time it'll bake. And when you get home from church, you have a meal ready. We have microwaves where we can quickly heat up some leftovers. Clothes washers and dryers speeds up the process of cleaning our clothes. And so it's touched our homes, our dwellings. It's touched our occupations. We have equipment and machinery to handle almost every process or task. And if we don't have one, we'll create something. There's several Mennonite businesses just around creating new automated machinery. Automated machines that do predetermined work. We have CNC machining, industrial robotics, and all kinds of automatic things to do work. We have portable battery-powered hand tools that we can take with us out into the woods. We can build a tree stand. We can take them wherever we need to go and do work. Computers and software to track and manage inventory, time records, invoices and bills, and a whole host of other data that we use in our businesses. Our farmers have advanced agricultural machinery. They have improved seed genetics and livestock genetics that increase production. We have advanced farming methods, and all these things have allowed fewer and fewer people to produce more and more food. The total number of U.S. farms dropped from 2.166 million in 2000 to 2.029 million in 2018. So it's not, doesn't seem like a big drop, but it's a 7% decrease in the amount of active farms. However, over that same time period, soybean production increased 50%, corn production increased 60%, and wheat production increased 60% as well. And so you have technology in the agricultural realm that produces more and more food on fewer farms. The medical world. And there's a host of things in the medical world that have advanced. And some of the results of that are things like this. Infant mortality has decreased. And I don't have a percentage, but it's, we know infant mortality has dropped significantly. Life expectancy has increased. Medical issues that people once died from are now minor surgeries. Think of appendicitis. It used to be somewhat of a deal years ago to get your appendix taken out. Now it's an overnight surgery. Stay with one night, possibly. We have heart and brain surgery. We have organ transplants where we can take out an organ that's failing and replace it with a donor organ. So the medical world has been touched by technology. Transportation. The internal combustion engine powers personal and commercial vehicles and has transformed the way we travel. No, we no longer rely on animal power or manpower. I would not be here tonight if I had to walk. That's just too far to Carlisle to walk or ride a donkey. But we have a technological advancement called an automobile. We sit on a seat, we press a button, we put it in drive, and we travel an advanced network of paved roads that allow us to reach great distances in short amounts of time. And so I'm here tonight because of that. The aircraft and jet engine have shrunk the globe, allowing common man to travel to almost any destination you choose. You and I sitting here in Altoona can purchase a ticket, go to the nearest airport, and we can be wherever we bought a ticket for. I know some of you travel to Bangladesh and other foreign places, and you can do it. It's a technological advancement that kings would have only dreamed of centuries ago. The shipping industry connected by ships, trains, and trucks, transports billions of dollars worth of goods from all over the world. Products that you and I have become accustomed to enjoying are delivered to us through that vast network. And then we come to communication and information. And this is where we often think about being as tech. But what I'm trying to do here is broaden your definition of tech and help you understand that tech is much more than this, but this is a very real area, our communication and information technology. Smartphones that fill multiple functions. It's a phone, it's an instant messenger, it's maps, it's navigation, it's banking, investing, it's mail, tasks, notes, a calculator, and a camera all in the palm of your hand. And all those things used to be separate devices or separate functions, now combined in your pocket. The internet links computers together to be able to communicate and send and receive information. And now we have what's called cloud storage, online databases where a lot of your websites and information is stored so that you can access it wherever you are as long as you have an internet connection. And so we have the communication and information world has had great leaps and bounds in advancement because of technology. Our governments and national security and warfare, and this is something we don't often think about because we're not involved in these realms, but those realms have advanced planes, ships, and tanks to fight modern warfare. There's computerized missiles and rockets, high-tech gear for foot soldiers, and it has turned warfare from a contest of sheer numbers and mass killings to precision hits on enemy targets. And you think, how does this relate to the Christian? Well, you and I enjoy the peace of national security at this current moment because of some of these technological advancements. And we just need to be real about that. That what we enjoy is because of some of the technology that's in areas we don't even involve ourselves in. Well, how about our churches? Our churches that are well lit. There's lights on. There's an audio system. There's a speaker system that's amplifying my voice. Some churches have call-in lines where people who aren't here could even call in and listen. We record our sermons, and we use computers and Wi-Fi to post those sermons online so that others can listen to them. A technological advancement. So tech has even reached our churches, reached our church houses. And I believe there's even preachers, I don't think I'm the only one, that use online study, online resources and research as part of our sermon preparation and study. And so technology has pretty much encompassed all our lives. Not in the too far distant past, say 100 years ago, most of the things I just mentioned did not exist. Did not exist. And so you and I live in a completely different realm, in a completely different world than our great-great-grandparents did because of technology. The interesting thing about this is that once a technology has become widespread and commonly available, we tend to take it for granted and even consider it a normal part of our life. So take your microwave, for instance. How long has it been since you felt like a microwave was a luxury? How long have you felt like having an automobile was a luxury? It's actually more abnormal to not have those things now. And development of technologies is ongoing. We could list all kinds of things, but we've got things coming like smart homes with internet-connected lights, speakers, cameras, appliances, and door locks. There's robotic floor sweepers and lawnmowers. Electric self-driving vehicles are just around the corner. And more advanced robotic applications. Agricultural equipment that is about to be autonomous and robotic and do farm work on its own. Cryptocurrency is disrupting our financial systems. Blockchain technology is changing how we share and store data and record information. There's 3D printing of parts and items on demand that is about to happen. And that'll be in a broad range of applications. Medical, automotive, and industrial will use 3D printing. The commercialization of space travel is at the door. And we have now have private citizens able to travel to space. So as we think about all this, and I simply present all that just to broaden our scope, as we think about the subject of technology, to think about it, not just our smartphones, not just our information technology, but all these things, and put them in a package that we need to relate to all this the same way. As we think about this, we have to acknowledge that technology is a broad subject. It's being implemented in all industries and all areas of our life. And technology has profoundly impacted and shaped our lives, and its influence is inescapable. If we had tried to escape technology, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. There's so many things that have shaped you and I, the options that are available to us, the things we participate in. Now, what we believe about technology and how we relate to it in a broad sense will directly impact our choices in specific things like communication technology. So what I want to do is talk about our beliefs about technology and what beliefs influence technology, because those beliefs, what you and I really believe about technology, will have a trickle-down effect to the very choices we make on a day-to-day basis of what we do with technology, how much technology we allow, and what technologies we choose to participate in. So our core beliefs are really where this starts, and that's what I would like to talk about. But first, I'd like to think about, how does God view technology? And we can ask the question, is there technology in the Bible, in Bible times? And I want to take you to Genesis chapter 4. You can turn there. And we'll read verses 19 through 22. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So we have this short passage of scripture where you have three brothers, and they were three industry leaders. One pioneered cattle and dwelling in tents, the industry of keeping cattle production. The other pioneered brass, metalworking, and developed that industry. He instructed in that industry. He taught. And Jubal developed music He was the father of all that handled the harp and the organ, it says. And so we have an account in Genesis where there was development. These things were not created, but it was men taking things that they had around them and developing them, possibly domesticating livestock. Well, obviously domesticating livestock for the purpose of increasing production, possibly quality for to provide food, clothing, etc. We have the music industry starting, and this man instructing in music. We have the metalworking, developing things from brass and iron, tools, weapons, possibly even idols. And so we have this account, these three brothers who were technology leaders for their time. We don't often think about it that way, but when you define technology on a broad level, these men were involved in technology for their day. We have the Good Samaritan who used the medical technology of his day to reach the man who was robbed and beaten. I think he poured in wine and oil and bound up his wounds, took him to an inn for medical care. And so you have medical care, an example of medical care. David's sling, while very basic to us, was technology for that era. It could hurl a stone with deadly force and reach a target that man couldn't reach on his own. We contrast that with Goliath's technology. He had large spear and sword, and he was well equipped. So you have cutting edge technology for that era. We could talk about chariots and city walls and gates, things that men used to defend their cities. What about Elisha's 12 oxen? Surely that was, the scripture makes a special note that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Must have represented large-scale farming in that era. We have the later in the New Testament, we have, it doesn't talk too much about them, but we know from study of the Roman world and the New Testament era that the Roman roads that are, for that time, were a modern technology. The Roman road system was noted for its straightness, its solid foundations. It was engineered for drainage, and it used concrete. It was built primarily for the military, to enable military travel to far-flung destinations and to manage the whole empire. These roads were quick and safe to travel, and they allowed the Romans to manage their empire and transport troops. They built some 50,000 miles of roads. And that was the Romans were in power in Jesus' era and in the New Testament era, and so you have technology for that era. We can talk about the ships that Apostle Paul traveled in. They obviously developed ships with sails. They transported grain, military, and passengers. And they weren't small. If you read the account in Acts 27, there was 276 people on board the ship that traveled, was taking Paul to Rome. That's about as much as a modern jet carries. That was no small ship. And they obviously had some means of navigation. And it was fascinating as I thought about that account in verse 28. If you read Acts 27, where the Paul shipwrecked, they were approaching land, and they had some sort of depth measuring technology. They sounded, and they measured how many fathoms it was to the bottom. So we have tech in the Bible. No, it's not smartphones, it's not computers, but it's advancements. It's men taking things and making tools, making processes for their day and their era. I want to contrast two accounts in Genesis as we think about this. As I was studying this, I found a book by an author. I'll just give him credit for this. This idea helped me understand technology. This book is called God, Technology, and the Christian Life. The author is Tony Reinke, and he's a Christian author, Christian man, and he studied deeply into technology and how we relate to it from a biblical perspective. His family was a technology pioneer in the irrigation industry. In fact, their company still runs in the Midwest, and they manufacture center pivots, Reinke pivots. And so he's a grandson of the founder of that company. And he's a Christian man who studied deeply into technology and how the Christian should relate to it. And if you're interested in that, I recommend reading it. I'm borrowing his example here because it helped me understand how we relate to this. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to go to Genesis and look at two accounts, And you might think, how can we find technology in Genesis? Genesis chapter 6. And this is the account of Noah, account of God preparing him for the flood. We're going to read just, verses 13 and 14 at this point. Verse 13, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, what is the technology here? We want to focus on the pitch, the tar. And this tar, this pitch was used to waterproof this ship. And what's fascinating is God is giving the instructions here. He's saying, build this ship. Here's how you build it. Here's what you do. In fact, this boat was technology. God was prescribing an invention and a technology to use to escape the judgment that was about to come. And so we have God prescribing here, build your ark, pitch it with pitch so it's waterproof. And he gave him specific instructions. And this pitch is an asphalt or tar-like substance. And again, its property is it's waterproofing. And so Noah coated his ark with pitch. Verse 22 says, thus did Noah. And Noah obeyed. He followed God's instructions. And he saved his household. He escaped the judgment. And it's an early example of technology applied. This technology was applied at the direction of God for a God-designed and God-honoring purpose. And it saved his family from destruction. Now, this only takes on a little more meaning if we jump over to Genesis 11. And we look at another account. Genesis chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. This is the account of the Tower of Babel. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now we have the flood occurring, these people resettling the land after the flood, and we have an example of post-flood technology. This slime is the same pitch or tar that Noah used to waterproof his ark. And these men had figured out a way to make building blocks out of mud. They said, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. It was a new technology. And they didn't need stones anymore. They could make their own brick. They said, well, now we know how to do this. We know how to make advanced brick. And we have this slime. Let's take this and let's build a city and a tower. Let's build some security for ourselves so that we're preserved from a future event. And the heart of this people was that they were going to take these technologies and they were going to build a tower, they were going to build a city. And it's interesting how they invented the technology and then they said, well, now we know how to do this, let's do this. And so we see this technology spurring the next thing. And the whole purpose was to make a name for ourselves so that we don't be scattered across the earth. And so we have this waterproofing technology, this pitch, being used in Noah's Ark and in this tower. And I think the goal was to build a tower that would be impervious to a future flood. Its top would reach to heaven, they could escape the floodwaters, and it would be waterproof. And so we have these two examples of technology. One was out of obedience to God. The Tower of Babel was unbelief, was from a heart of unbelief in God's promise to never destroy the earth with a flood. God had promised that he would not do this, and yet these people didn't believe. They said, we need to make a name. We need to build a fortress. We need to be able to escape the destruction. We need independence from God. We don't want to believe. We need independence. And so we see technology being used in both these examples. In this case, at the direction of self-centered man, for the purpose of bringing glory to self and an attempt to save oneself from judgment. But this did not escape God's notice. He came down to see what they're doing, and he intervened and halted the work. What do we learn from these two accounts? Well, it's the same tech, and how it's used is key. How it's applied is key. I just want to think now about some core principles related to this. And the first one is, God is a creator of all things. Colossians 1, verse 16, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We have to start with God as the creator. We must believe that God is the creator and that he created all things. He created the wood for Noah's ark. He created the mud for the brick used to build the Tower of Babel. He created the pitch that both of them used to build in their building projects. The base materials were there with the properties and the laws of the universe. And God put in place the boundaries that man must operate within. And as a creator, he has the right to do that. He sets the laws and the boundaries of the natural world. We see God stepping in and intervening and ending the work in Babel. He set in place a boundary. And so man today works within the boundaries of what God has put in place. All the technology you and I experience is simply man taking things that God has put here and putting them together in a way that they do something, but it's all within the laws of the bounds that God has set. And any new thing that comes along, we combine elements, we combine something new, and we call it a new thing. God has thought about it already. He's created everything that goes into that new technology. Sometimes we get this idea that technology is kind of over here, and it's kind of this evil influence and this evil force. But God created everything. He is the creator. And we have to keep that belief in mind as we relate to technology. On top of that, he created man. He created us in his image. And God is a creator. God is a builder. And he put that desire to create, to build, and improve inside man. And so God created the things that are here, and he created man with the desire to create, build, and improve. And he also gave man the free will to do that, to explore, to invent, to discover. And so over time, man has continued to do that, to invent, to innovate, to combine processes, to combine one thing he learned here, combine another thing he learned here, and create what we call new technology. We combine process, methods, materials to create new tech. But ultimately, God is the creator. We must keep that foundational. I want to take you to another scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 54, I want to read verses 16 and 17. Isaiah 54, 16 and 17. He's speaking here, prophesying, but this excerpt is interesting. As God is speaking, he's talking about this creators, what he's created. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So in this ancient example, God is saying, I created the smith. I created the man who makes technology. I created that smith who knows how to take hot coals and take metal and form something. And he said, I also created the person who takes that instrument and slays with it, the waster, the destroyer. I'm in charge. I control this. I created this. And so we apply this principle to today. God created those who create technology. And we can think about it in our day. He created the modern day Smiths, those that take things and make new things. The Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and all the tech heads and inventors in the world, all the modern day inventors and tech leaders, I created him, God says. I put him here. I created the smith that bloweth on the coals. He even creates those who use technology, the waster to destroy. And that's a fascinating thought, that God actually says, I created that man who's taking that and using it in a wrong way. He has even put in place those that use technology for destructive purposes. He planned it. He created it. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And so it's sort of a mind-bending thought to think about God creating but those who do evil. And yet he knows all, and he is in control. And that's the second thing I like to think about. He's the creator, but he's also in control. Just by virtue of being the creator, he is in charge. He says, I have made the technology creator and the technology user. However, I'm in control. And we see that in verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So if it's God's design that these things would fail, that these things would not have an effect, he can do so. We see this at the Tower of Babel. He stepped in and stopped the building. God observed and stepped in to confound their language. We must believe that God is just as much in control of the technology realm today. He's in control of the creators and the users. And man has imagined some really out of control futures. And if you look at tech or read about tech, you'll come across this. You have people that fear that smart robots will turn on humanity. Space travel with the purpose of establishing communities on planets. A nuclear war that destroys mankind. Merging of electronic technology with the human body and brain. But man can only go so far as God allows. He is in control, and we must keep that in view as we look at technology and think about it. So God's view of technology, he simply says, I've created it. I put the materials here. I've put the human creativity here. I create the creators and the users, and I control it. I control the Tower of Babel. I control the weapon of the smith. And I control technology today. I want to look at several guiding principles, what I call guiding principles. And this is, I have three guiding principles I want to leave you with. The main focus of what I want to think about. We have all this, the thoughts about the broad sense of technology and what it is. God created it. God controls it. But what are guiding principles for me today as I relate to any of this? And so I have three of those. Call it the three greats. Great purpose, the great commandments, and great commission. And so I want to present these as a set of principles or measurements that we can use to guide our thinking and our relationship to any technology. First of all, a great purpose from Genesis 1 verses 28 through 30. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Also, the great, what I call the great purpose, that we see in the first verse, God put them on the earth to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And I take this, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, beyond just repopulating the humanity. I think God intended that we have dominion over the earth, that we be productive citizens, that we dress and keep the earth. And we see that in Genesis 2:15, that God, the Lord God, took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And that's part of our great purpose. This was repeated to Noah when he left the ark in Genesis 9, verse 1, and also in verse 7. And he said to Noah, and you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So how does this relate to technology? We're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. We're supposed to be productive citizens. They were to create, invent, create and increase and build up and care for the earth. God put man here for a purpose, to use the earth in a way that is honor and glorifying to him. To replenish has the idea of a restock or refill, not to use up, not to destroy, but to nurture and to replenish and to take care of the natural resources that he has given to us. We're to be good stewards. And you could put in this category technologies like genetic improvement, trait and variety selection in crops and animals that allow the greater production to feed the world that we mentioned. And all these, I believe, are God's design and God's intent to dress and keep and multiply and bring forth abundantly. Man has harnessed the natural fuels that God has placed here with the combustion engine and the jet engine. And these technologies have greatly enhanced our world and have greatly enhanced even the kingdom. The electric motor has greatly increased production and efficiency, and it's man taking these technologies and harnessing the natural resources that God has put here. And I think this pleases God. According to Genesis, if we look at God's great purpose for man was to be fruitful and multiply. Technologies that harness water and wind and solar power enable us to efficiently heat and light our homes. And so it's right that we do things that are efficient. It's right that we use God's resources properly. All these technologies were thought of by our Creator, and he put the means and laws in place to accomplish them. We're also supposed to have dominion. God intends that we manage and control the resources for the benefit of mankind. And again, you could think about domestic and genetically improved livestock, having dominion, cultivating and improving plant life, mining and extraction from the earth, metals, minerals, and fuels. And so God put all these things here, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, dress it and keep it. And so the technologies we use must qualify under this great purpose for mankind. So one of the measuring sticks we can use for technology is, does it help me fulfill my Creator's purpose for me? Does it benefit mankind? Does it help me be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? Does it help me have dominion as God intended? So great purpose. It must help us fulfill our great purpose. The second one is great commandments. And Christ left us two commandments in Matthew 23:35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so Jesus distilled down into two commandments the core of Christianity, of what he had intended for mankind. Can we apply these to technology? And I believe the answer is yes, we must. We must love God with all our being and all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind. And how does this apply to technology? You and I are naturally selfish, sinful, and love ourselves. And what we love and value affects how we use technology. Just like the builders of Babel, who used technology of brick and pitch to attempt to make a name for themselves and be independent from God, so we tend to use the power of tech to be self-sufficient, independent from God, and make a name for ourselves. And so then we can get down in a very practical level. And we think about this at a high level. How am I using tech, maybe especially communication technology? When I see tech as an end to simply make me more money, create a life of personal power and influence, and free myself of problems and stress, When I see tech as simply all it is for me and for my benefit, and I start to replace my love for God with a love for what tech can do. When my heart is captured by the capabilities and status that tech can bring me, then we're on the wrong path. And so we must check our use of technology by, is it affecting my love for God? Is it taking my heart? Is it taking my mind? Is it replacing that love I'm supposed to have for God? And we could think about this in many practical ways. A farmer could, we wouldn't want to say worship, but tractors are important. And the shinier and more powerful and bigger the screens and the GPS transmitter is pretty important. The businessman who has machines and software that make me very efficient and make me produce, and all we can do is think about the net profit. Our vehicles that too quickly become part of my identity. And yeah, we need a vehicle. I wouldn't be here without it. But is it my identity? Is my identity wrapped up in a vehicle, in the technology I have? The smartphone and the gadgets that fascinate me. Take my time. And this is a real area. This is a challenging area of our day. But does my tech, does my smartphone take more time than my Bible reading, than my witnessing, or ministering to those around me? And I'll be the first to admit, I'm still growing in that area. They're so captivating, they're so handy, they're so right there, there's so much we can access. God help us that we wouldn't replace our love for Him with these things, with these technology. And are we willing to take action in this area? Is it time to really sit down and think about how I use this stuff? And ask myself, is it taking my love? Am I willing to do something about it? Can I limit my time spent on YouTube, group chats, social media, you have it, whatever is on there? Are we really, really going to do something about this? And in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 and verse 47, we're given this instruction. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And Mark 9, 47, he says, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into the fire of hell. Can we apply this to tech? Yes, we can, and we need to. If my tech is replacing my love, am I willing to cut it off? Am I willing to put a fence around it? Am I willing to reduce it, minimize it? I need to avoid any use of tech that would cause me to be eternally lost. Am I willing to make decisive actions to limit the negative effects? Cutting off a hand is severe. And cutting off my cell phone might seem really severe. My smartphone might seem severe. I'm not saying we should just get rid of smartphones. That's not what I'm saying. I think they're here to stay. I think we need to figure out how to use them in beneficial ways and limit the negativity. But it's going to take real work, and it's going to take an honest conversation about how we use them. And I'll just lay the challenge before you dads. This thing rests on your shoulders. Your preachers can sit in ministers' meetings and debate and talk about what we should do with tech. And we can come up with a lot of good ideas, and we can say we shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. But this thing is moving way too fast for us to stay ahead. And so it's only as you dads take these principles and make them real in your homes, make them real in your own lives, and take real application to it that we're actually going to be successful with this. Well, it makes it too easy to promote self. My views, my hobbies, my agenda. The digital age has enabled this like no other time in history. And so the question is, are we promoting God and His kingdom, just like Noah of old? Or are we building myself, my name, my own Tower of Babel? God says you must love me with everything. All our tech must be second to God, and we must seek first His kingdom. These things can quickly become our idols, replace our need for God. God will not have it. He will not allow it. So we must measure our use by this great commandment. And the second part of this is we love our neighbors as ourselves. Our relationships with other people are second only to our relationship with God. And again, we tend to promote our own interests, our own agenda. In Luke 6:31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We need to apply the golden rule in all technology, in how we use our vehicles, in how we use our communication tech, in how we relate to each other through these things. Does the golden rule still apply to my use of tech? It needs to. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is kindness, tenderheartedness apply to my use of tech? Does it apply to how I use my phone? Does it apply how I use my vehicle? Does it apply to how I use my tractor, my machinery, my equipment? You see, we can start to test our actions, and we can start to test what we do when we think of these, take these great principles, and we can ask ourselves questions like, will I take that picture and forward it on? Will I forward this silly message? Will I spread the latest gossip? Will I hide behind digital communication and let it affect my real interaction with other humans? The technology we use should promote a love for our neighbors. We should use it for the good of mankind, and we do that. In our businesses, we can use it to deliver products and services that supply the needs of man and create value and benefit for others. Medical tech allows us to care for others and reach the physical need of man. Transportation tech enables us to reach those in need and travel and associate with other like-minded believers. The efficiency that leads to abundance provides surplus, and we should be willing to give that to the needs of others in charitable work. Communication. We should use this communication tech to keep in touch with people that we should care about, our family, friends, our members, and our friends and family members. And it allows us to keep in touch with them in ways that were never possible before. And so there's good parts of this. But our technology must be in obedience to these two great commandments, to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we get a firm hold on this and we start to check our technology use by it, it will have a real impact on what we do. The final one yet is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And also from Romans 10, verse 13 and 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? Our use of technology must help us fulfill our Great Commission. You see, Noah's ark and his obedience enabled him to be a witness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. And so he used that technology of his day to build an ark, but he was a witness to others. When others observe how we use technology and how we live our lives, does it point them to Christ? And what's interesting is Christians have actually used technology to further the kingdom since the early church. Think about those Roman roads I talked about. Paul used that to travel all over. He reached many cities, many other lands that were not possible prior to those roads. The church spread rapidly because of that Roman road network that really was built for a totally different purpose. It was built for military use. But the church spread on the back of that technology. The church grew rapidly. Those ships that we talked about, Paul used them on his missionary journeys, and he allowed him to sail from one place to another to reach, and it made his missionary journeys possible. Those ships weren't built for mission work. They were built for commercial purposes. They were never intended. No one ever thought that those ships were going to be used to spread the gospel. But we have account after account of Paul traveling on ship and making those missionary journeys and reaching Rome and places he would have never got to. So the church has spread on the back of technologies in the past. The printing press is another one. was used specifically, the early printing press was used to print more copies of the Bible than ever before, and it enabled men to search out truth for themselves. So what would have happened in days gone by if the church had steered clear, completely clear of technology, and had avoided it totally? I think the church would have not grown like it had. And that's maybe counter to what you've been told. But I believe the church has spread. God has used, his people have used technologies of this world to grow the kingdom. And so while we need to steer clear of the bad parts and the besetting parts of technology, can we harness technology today to spread the kingdom, to grow the kingdom? And we do this already. Our roads and vehicles allow us to travel quickly and easily. We brought that up many times, but we reach all over this country. We can go. We can reach places. We can travel with people. Airplanes carry us to foreign countries. And we've used them to spread the kingdom. Our modern printing presses have allowed us to print all manner of books, study helps, good reading material, and untold numbers of Bibles. We have literature like never before. And our communication technology allows us to learn about and support believers in distant places. The internet allows us to publish our beliefs and doctrine and even our preaching for those who are searching to find. And I've been involved in the IT committee for our website, and it's astounding how many places that website reaches and how much traffic comes from other countries and how many sermons are listened to. And so we are using it, but can we use it more? Can we use it? Is there more ways that we can spread the kingdom? Instead of thinking about my smartphone as my convenience and my technology as my convenience, can I think about them as God's tools to build the kingdom? So our technology must aid us in carrying out the Great Commission. So in closing, I hope I've inspired you to think about this faithfulness in our ever-changing world, this technology world we live in, how we can be faithful to God. And really, it's being true to those three great things, the great purpose, the great commandments, the Great Commission. We need to understand that technology has shaped our life and will continue to do so. New technology will continue to be invented and be discovered and come our way. But if we get a hold of the belief that God is the creator of technology and those who invent it, innovate and invent, we can rest in the fact that he's in control. He sets the bounds of technology. And then our purpose is to use the tech in our everyday lives to fulfill the great purpose, obey the great commandments, and carry out a great commission. God bless us as we endeavor to do so. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening. Thank you again for the blessings you have given to us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for creating the natural world around us and all the things you've put here, all the many blessings we enjoy. Thank you that you're a God who's thought of everything and created everything. You've created the times and places and the people, and you are in control, and we commit all things to you. Help us to endeavor to use the capabilities and the things around us of our time and era for your great purposes, for reaching the lost, for spreading your kingdom, for fulfilling your great commandments, and for building each other up. Pray a blessing upon these people here as they worship here at Fourth Avenue. May you bless them and help them to honor and glorify you and be a shining light in this community. Go with us now. Keep us in your care is what we ask in Christ's name. Amen.